Okay, so today I'd like to share with you how to contemplate the mind with mindfulness and wise attention. It is about the citta nupassana satipatthana, under four foundations of mindfulness. The first one is kaya nupassana satipatthana. The second one is vedana nupassana satipatthana. This is the third one. Today, the talk I'm going to share is the citta nupassana satipatthana. But I just want to focus how a practitioner should contemplate the mind with first mindfulness, second wise attention. So before contemplating the mind, we should know what are the constituents of the mind or what make up the mind. In order to know one object, there are many we call mental factors or cetasika. Or common language, there are many ingredients that is inside the mind in order to know an object. For the mind to know an object. And also, when our six sense bases, eye, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind, come to contact with six sense object, sight, sound, smell, taste, tangible, and mental object. So when six sense bases come to contact with six sense object, there are many we call mental states arise in the mind. So, according to your experience, what are the mental states that arise when a sixth sense object come to contact with sixth sense basis? According to your life experience, daily life experience. Happy, yes. You see the thing you like, happy, happiness. Then you see, or you encounter something you don't like, or you feel sorrow, then sad. What else? They say you meet with your enemy. Hate will arise. So you see the food you like. What mental state will arise?
Vicious.
Greed. Yes. Greed, huh? When your eye touch with the, food you like, or your tongue taste the food you like, wow, the greed rise. Okay. And you see somebody, they have better achievement than you. What type of mental state that arise?
Jealousy.
Okay. Some more in your daily life. What are the defilement that can arise in your mind? Anxious, anxiety. For example, the task the boss give you, it cannot finish on time. You feel very anxious. Or when your son and daughter get sick, you also feel a lot of anxiety, worry. What else? When you practice meditation, what type of mental state that arise? It can be peace. It can be restless, right? It can be mindfulness. It can be concentration. It can be when you contemplate anicca, dukkha, anatta, it can be wisdom. Right? So all this constitute the mind. But today we would like to focus on the kilesas, the defilements that arise in the mind. We do want to focus on the good thing first. Because we want to focus on the corrupted mental state. If that corrupted mental state, we call kilesa in Pali, if that arises in the mind and you are not mindful of it, okay, what will happen to you? What will happen? This anger arises in you and you are not mindful of the anger. What will happen? This is very common in our life. What will happen to you?
Anger.
Yes, anger arises in you already. And you are not mindful of your mental state. You don't know how to contemplate your mental state, then what will happen to you? You will scold people, maybe. Scold people, this is called waji kamma. We call speech, unwholesome speech action. Then sometimes you cannot control, even you know, scold people or still cannot pacify your anger. Then you will maybe take something, throw to the person you hit, or even slap him, or even beat him. This is called kaya kamma, the bodily action, unwholesome bodily action. Okay. So whether anger arises in the mind, you do not do anything. You can control. Control your verbal behavior or bodily behavior. But still, that is what we call manno karma. Mental unwholesome karma with the anger. Therefore, then as a Buddhist, we know every unwholesome action, whether it's mind, from speech, or from bodily behavior, once performed, it leaves behind we call karmic energy. This karmic energy will follow our life stream. Our life stream is carry on one, just like river flowing forward. So this unwholesome karmic energy will follow the life stream. When met with favorable condition, and this karmic energy will sprout, become vipaka, become resultant, or called effect. We call vipaka, karma vipaka. So it becomes a resultant effect. Is it? And since it's performed by the unwholesome karma, so the resultant cannot be wholesome. Definitely, it will become unwholesome. Therefore, when this unwholesome karma occurs in us, we meet a lot of misery in life. Suddenly, you may lose your health, you may lose your property, you may lose your relationship, or you may be betrayed by your spouse. Many unhappy things will occur in life. But sometimes when these unhappy things occur in life, we never think of karma and vipaka. We just complain, blame others, or we complain others. We never think, oh, this is the resultant from my previous karma. Seldom people think that way. Then the question arises, why? Since you all are Buddhists, we know cause and effect. We know karma, vipaka. So when something unhappen things, a misery that occur in life, why we never think of karma, vipaka? We all understand karma, vipaka. We all understand now, if I do bad, then I will receive bad result. As a Buddhist, we all understand karma, vipaka. But when it comes to life experience, unhappy things happen in our life, why we never think of this cause and effect or karma vipaka? Because it's easy to blame other people. blaming other people is better to say, oh, it's my own fault, right? And also because of ego. Blaming other people also because of ego. Because of this apta, ego. We don't want to admit it's my own mistake. Better to say your mistake. You make me suffer. Not my karma make me suffer. You make me suffer is common practice. My own karma make me suffer is not a common practice. Okay? Okay, anyway, when all these defilements arise in the mind, if we do not know, we do not have mindfulness to aware, or we do not apply wise attention, then this kilesa we call corrupted mind or defilements will affect your verbal behavior, will affect your bodily behavior, then leave behind karmic energy that you have to pay for it in the future. Okay? To tell you is to show that the essential, the necessary of mark for us, essential for us to be aware of any kilesa that arise in the mind. Otherwise, we will perform unwholesome karma. Okay? So now, how to protect the mind with mindfulness so that we will not commit unwholesome verbal and bodily karma? The first step is apply mindfulness on your mental state that is happening now. So what is this mindfulness? According to Anguttara Nikaya 10.17, Pathama Napa Sutta, the Pali word we translate as mindfulness sati literally refer to memory. Mindfulness enables one to remember and recall what was said and done long ago. For example, when you say something, then later on, few days later, you say, you quarrel with people, say that, I do not say. Then your friend say, you say it, you say, I do not say. Because your memory is so poor. You cannot remember what you have said, what you have done. Then you say, you have no mindfulness. This is the actual meaning of mindfulness. But when it comes to the practice of Satipatthana Sutta, sati carry another meaning. I just want to let you know the original meaning of sati is memory. But come to Satipatthana, four foundation of mindfulness, this mindfulness or sati carries another meaning. So what is mindfulness, sati? Mindfulness nowadays, mindfulness is very popular practice, especially in the West. Those big companies like Google, Apple, all the CEO, most of the CEO, they will have to attend mindfulness retreat. It becomes so popular in big company. So what is this mindfulness called sati in Pali? Mindfulness means aware of what is happening in your mind and body now. Now. Suppose I ask you, okay, what's happening in your mind and body now? What's your answer? What is happening in your mind and body now? Now?
Listening.
Yeah, you focus on listening to my talk. So you are aware of what is happening in your mind now. Okay? This is called mindfulness. Be present. Be present. But some people sitting here, the mind go back to the home already, or go back to their office, or go back to any good restaurant which is going tonight. So if you are sitting here and your mind is going somewhere else and you do not know, then it is called not aware of what is happening now. So mindfulness, the second meaning of mindfulness is face to face with the object. Suppose anger arises in my mind. Anger arises in my mind. If I am mindful, I aware what is happening in my mind now. So what's that? Anger. Anger state of the mind. Anger state of the mind. Then secondly, I face to face. I try to be face to face with the anger. Suppose somebody know. Okay, let me ask you. When you are angry, do you know? Don't know. No, some say no, some say don't know. So if you don't know, completely no mindfulness. If you know, it may not be mindfulness as well. So what's mindfulness? So when anger arises in me, I completely don't know. Then completely no mindfulness. But if I know and yet I scold people, I know I'm angry, therefore I scold people, also called no mindfulness. Then what does it mean, mindfulness? Mindfulness means when I'm angry, I know what is happening in my mind that I am angry. Then I face to face, I look at that anger instead of scolding people, which is reaction of the anger. Mindfulness has no reaction. So if you react, then you lose mindfulness. I mean, your mindfulness only lasts for maybe 30 seconds. No, you know I am angry for 30 seconds, then you start to scold people. So when you know you are angry for 30 seconds, then your mindfulness lasts only for 30 seconds. So 30 seconds mindfulness not enough to see things as they really are. But I know I am angry, and I face to face with the anger without giving in to reaction of scolding people or beating people or throwing things. I look at that anger directly, face to face with that anger. This is called mindfulness. Okay? Understand? Okay, So these are two meanings of mindfulness. Story not yet finished. Okay. Then the attitude of mindfulness. So when you face to face with the anger, there is attitude of your mental attitude. So the attitude is being equanimous. You are not facing face to face with anger. With anger again. No. You face to face with the anger with the attitude of being equanimous. Unbiased. Your mind is unbiased. Your mind is not judgmental. What does it mean, judgmental? So when anger arises in me, I aware, I present. I aware what's happening in my mind. I face to face with it. And I don't judge it. Anger is not good. Anger is bad. Why I learned Buddhism so many years, still get very angry. This is called judgmental. You don't judge. You don't blame, self-blame. Okay? This is called not judgmental. You silently observe, like a third person, observe that anger. Another word, you do not cling to that anger as my anger. I am angry. I get so upset. I am angry. You don't have that type of mental ingredient. So this attitude is very important. Now, this attitude of mindfulness. So let me repeat again. What is mindfulness? Aware of what is happening in your mind and body now. But since today we focus on mind, let us put aside the body first. So mindfulness means aware of what is happening in your mind state now. Then after that, face to face with that anger, but while paying attention to that anger, we call face to face, or paying attention to that anger, that is an attitude. That attitude must be equanimous, unbiased, not judgmental, but silently observe, like a third person observe another person's anger, not your anger. Anger is just an object. It's just an object of observation. Anger is not yours. If anger is not yours, what's anger? Why it arises? Anger arises due to certain causes. So it arises, exists temporarily only. Temporarily then. But if you are not mindful, you follow after the anger, then you perform unwholesome or bad verbal karma and body karma. But if you have mindfulness, you face to face with it and without any judgmental, just silently observe it, although it's not yours. This is attitude of mindfulness. Clear or not clear? Okay. Okay, now let's see the effect of mindfulness. The effect. First, mindfulness slows down mental activity. Let's say anger arises in my mind. So I face to face with it, I observe it silently, then my mental activity becomes slowed down. Without mindfulness, let's say I get very angry, non-mindfulness, I immediately react. Then I cannot slow down the mental activity. But by observing silently, you slow down mental activity so that the body will not react. When body react is unwholesome karma already. Therefore, when you hold the anger and observe it silently, then mindfulness slows down mental activity. You're not so hot already. Your mind is not so furious, not so hot. Everything like slowed down. Okay? Secondly, the effect of mindfulness is like the brake of a car, which can stop unwholesome state of mind from proliferating. For example, when you drive a car, you drive a car, and there is traffic in front of you. Then the traffic turn to red. So at that time, what should you do? You slow down and step the brake in order to stop the car. So this called slow down, step the brake is similar with mindfulness. And this is the red light. What does it mean, the red light? Red light refer to what? The metaphor. Red light refer to our defilements, our kilesa. Red light refer to anger. Make it easy. Red light is the anger. Now anger lights up already, then you got to step your brake in order to slow down your reaction, slow down your mental activity. Otherwise, if you don't have that brake system in the car, mean your whole life, or no brake one, then whatever red light come, you, how to call, go straight. When you go straight, so you hurt yourself. And not only that, you also hurt other people. You bang other people's car. And they cause car accident, so you hurt both sides. Therefore, if in our life, we every time react to our defilements, we react to our corrupted mind without any stop, without any stopping, then we hurt ourselves and we hurt other people. Just like driving a car without brake, so you meet with accident. When there's accident, you hurt both parties. Okay? Therefore, Buddha said, mindfulness protects the mind. Without mindfulness, there's no protection in your mind. Whatever defilement that arises, whether it's anger, jealousy, competition, ego, pride, arrogance, greed, there's no mindfulness in the mind, then you will follow that defilement to create various bad karma. And some bad karma is very heavy, and they will bring you to the four woeful states. Therefore, Buddha said, if you got mindfulness, you step your brake, then you are protected. So mindfulness protects the mind. This is the effect of mindfulness. Is it clear or not? I try to slow, explain a little bit slow so that you can follow. Okay, now, before I go to wise attention, here our topic is how to contemplate your mind with mindfulness, only then wise attention. Okay, so before I go to wise attention, let me check whether you got the meaning of mindfulness or not. So, when the six sense object, eye, ear, nose, body, tongue, encounter six sense, when six sense bases, eye, ears, body, tongue, and so on, encounter the external six sense object, form, sound, taste, smell, pleasant bodily touch, good mental object, defilement sure will arise. The some mental state sure will arise one, especially the greed and anger. Ignorance is almost everywhere. That put aside the ignorance first. But anger and greed, because when you encounter good object, you want it, you want to get it, you desire for it. This is anger. But when you encounter, I encounter something of some object, you dislike it. This is anger. So greed and anger arise very common in our mind. Let's say now, your eye sees with something pleasant, then you love it very much, you attach to it. Then anger, greed arise. Okay, how to stop that greed? Anyone can answer? How to stop that greed? So that body will not according to that greed. Anybody can answer?
This is just my thought. Maybe you look at the thing itself, not the other. So maybe when I put this thinking into process. And Bhagavad Gita has said, it will slow down the process for me. It will carry it. So hopefully by this process, You are not separated from.
So you mean that you investigate why the greed arises just by investigation of why the greed arises, right? Okay, okay. Any other answer? Any other answer? How to protect the mind so that you will not act according to that greed? Okay, before you can get detached, you should have the first step, second step, third step. Before you get detached, what should you do? Yeah, this is called mindfulness. Why nobody direct tell mindfulness? I just teach you how to be mindful. That's why that's the reason I want to ask whether you can reply me by aware of my mental state, face to face with it, the equanimous of service suddenly. This is the answer I want first. All this investigating and detach, all this come after mindfulness. Without mindfulness, you cannot. Mindfulness will come first. So whatever the unwholesome mental state arises in you, apply this mindfulness first. Investigating the cause is better. Okay? Detach is, without mindfulness, you cannot detach. So what is the first step? Mindfulness. Today, mindfulness is our main object, okay? Our main teaching. So, when anger arises, greed arises, jealousy arises, first arouse your mindfulness first. First step. What is mindfulness? Aware what is happening in your mind now. So, if now is jealousy, I know there is jealousy arise in my mind. This is the first step. Then second step, face to face with that jealousy. If you don't face to face with that jealousy, or if you don't take that jealousy as your mental object, you will react immediately. Because mind is very fast. In order to slow down your mental activity, you've got to be face to face with that object. When you are facing that object and observe it silently with equanimous, mind, then that jealousy will not become stronger. And the body action will not follow that jealousy also. This is the first step. So mindfulness, like a brake system in the car, slow down the mind so that the mind will not react. Okay, understand? If you cannot understand, I'm not going to teach wise attention. Okay, now make sure you understand. Okay, one more question. Suppose now you meet with your enemy. Okay, what happened to your mind?
Anger
arise. Okay, after anger arise, will you follow after the anger, or you want the anger to stop? Okay, in order to anger to stop, not to follow anger, what should you do? Aware the mind is at angry state. Okay, not enough yet, Then, better? Face to face with that anger, mean take that anger as object of observation. Right? Object of observation, look at that anger. Look at that silently. And don't judge that anger as not good, bad, why I get angry. Don't judge. No judgment. The mind is equanimous. Huh? Equanimous. Mindfulness itself is equanimous. Huh? Observe it. Okay. That anger has arise in the mind. Only then the mental activity will slow down. Okay. Now, I assume everybody apply, know how to apply the first step. Now we go to the second step. Wise attention. Yoniso manasikara. Very few teachers teach this wise attention. Even I learned from so many great monks. The well-known monk, international monk. I also never heard this Yoniso manasikara. Okay. Now, what is wise attention? Yoniso manasikara. Manasikara means pay attention. Yoniso means the origin. Pay attention to the origin. Origin, pay attention to the reality. The origin of the reality. So, the origin of the reality is all impermanence. The truth of all things is impermanent. Buddha say, sabbe sankhara anicca. All formations are impermanent. This is the origin. This is the reality of all phenomena, all things. So what are the reality of all things? Please answer me. Louder. Yeah. Impermanent is the reality of all things. So, yoniso manasikara means pay attention to the reality of all things, which is impermanent. So, the meaning of wise attention is directing the mind to see impermanent. This is called yoniso manasikara, wise attention. Manasikara means attention. So how to direct the mind to see impermanent? Let's say come back to the anger. First, that anger arise, you apply mindfulness, aware. Now you answer me. Then face to face. Then what a type of attitude? Equanimous, neutral, no judgmental. Silently observe. Okay. Now, let's say you all know already, I keep repeating so that you can go into your mind. Okay. Okay. Now you all apply mindfulness already. Then the anger is still there. Still there because it's not yet passed away. It's just that protect the mind. Don't act on it. Mindfulness is protect the mind. Don't act verbally. Don't act bodily on it. But it's still there. Now I want this anger to go away. Pass. Don't stay in my mind. Okay? Then what should I do? I direct the mind. Mind listen to us one. I direct the mind to see impermanent. So mentally I say vanishing or gone or impermanent very long. Gone is faster. Gone. Impermanent same meaning. Gone, vanishing, disappearing, all very, very long. The shorter is gone. So mentally you take that anger and direct the mind to see the vanishing of that anger. The vanishing nature of that anger. Because anger belongs to sankhara. Anger is belong to sankhara. Buddha says sabbe sankhara anicca. So the reality of that anger is impermanent. Now you direct the mind to see impermanent. This is called wise attention. Okay? So how to do? Please remember the skill, the technique. I'm teaching you the technique. So how to do? Mentally, you say. Don't say loudly, you know. Say mentally. Mentally, you say, gone, gone, gone. Say 20 times. After 20 times, you pause and check that anger, whether it's still there or not. I guarantee you 60% can see is passing away. 40% maybe after gone, mentally say gone, the mind go somewhere else. That's why I cannot see the anger gone. I have been teaching this for many years already. Yeah? The student will feedback to me one. Okay, let me repeat again. I need to repeat many, many times. Only you can answer me very directly. So now you see somebody get promoted, your colleague get promoted, and you don't get promoted. So jealousy arises in you. Can you aware? Are you aware or no? If no, no mindfulness. Then if you aware of the jealousy, okay, apply mindfulness. Okay, what should you do? Tell me what should you do. So many sound, I cannot see. I cannot hear very clearly. One person represent all. Now, please answer me. One person answer me. Then, what attitude? Louder. Maybe, you repeat, it's teaching them.
Over our performance. And face to face with
jealousy. Yes, very good. Okay, this first step, But the jealousy is still there, right? We just don't react on it. Mindfulness stop the reaction on it, but jealousy is still there. So now you apply second step, wise attention. Mentally, direct the mind, to say, gone, gone. Gone. What gone? Jealousy. You don't gone, you know what gone. Jealousy must be go away. So you say jealousy. You don't say jealousy. Because jealousy is your object already. Then mentally you say gone. 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 How many times? 20 times. And after that, pause, check that jealousy is still there or not. If it's still there, then you can say gone again, or you want to change. You can change to non-self. After 20 times gone, you pause. And if jealousy is gone already, then great. You have achieved seeing impermanent of your defilement first time directly. Or you say achievement. Okay. But suppose if it's still there, because your mind is restless, you cannot see it go away. You can change to another way of seeing things as they really are. That is not self, not myself, not a self or non-self, not a self. So after 20 times gone is still there, then you can change, direct your mind to see non-self nature of that jealousy. So mentally you say, not self, non-self, not a self. Jealousy is not myself. It's not a self. Not a self. Another 20 times. 20 plus 20, 40, sure you go away when I tell you. Better you don't believe you can. Better you can practice. No worry. Important you master the technique first. If technique also don't know, how are you going to apply? Right? So, jealousy is not a self, then what is there? Why it arises? Now come to investigation. But today is not my, I don't want to teach investigation, but I can give you extra knowledge. So, then sometimes you say, jealousy not myself, incline the mind, jealousy not myself, not myself, not myself. The question may arise. If jealousy is not myself, why it arises in me? right? The question may arise. If jealousy is not myself, why it arises in me? Now is a time for you to investigate cause and effect. But today is, I don't want to cover this, but I can tell you a little bit. So then you will check, oh, previously I had no jealousy, right? Now, because my colleague get promoted, so her promotion is the cause of my jealousy. So her promotion is the cause. My jealousy is an effect. And is, will this jealousy persist forever? Maybe today only, tomorrow pass away already. So today it persists, tomorrow pass away. If jealousy is yourself, then when jealousy gone, your self must be died together with the jealousy, right? If jealousy is yourself, jealousy gone, vanished, impermanent already, then self must die together, must vanish together. Logical thinking is like that. But why I'm still living, I'm still smiling, talking, I do not die. So this means that jealousy is not myself. Jealousy is just an effect of a cause. Cause and condition has no self. Cause and condition are impermanent, not a self. So by this also called yoniso manasikara, wise attention. So by thinking wisely, you also can see jealousy is not myself. So mentally you can say jealousy, not myself, not myself, not myself. When you say not myself, it will not affect your ego anymore. You will not act accordingly because it's not yourself. You just observe. Okay, so what is wise attention? Directing the mind to see impermanent or non-self. Okay. Now, let's say you do not direct the mind to see impermanent. What is your mindset at that time? Imagine now anger arise. You do not direct the mind to see impermanent. Then what is your mindset? Your mind perceive what, think what? Your mindset, the mindset means what you already in the mind. Is it permanent or impermanent? Permanent. If you don't direct your mind to see impermanent, your mind is obsessed with permanent perception of permanent. It is reality. No one can escape from that. Because we always think everything is permanent, 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 permanent already. So even though I have mindfulness to watch that anger face to face, and also with equanimous mind, but the perception of mind, the perception, the old perception that we have long time ago, still will perceive that anger as permanent. All of us. All of us. So, when you have mindfulness to look at that anger, but the perception of the mind, but behind the mind, you also perceive that anger as permanent. You don't speak out, but that is called, it's already deep rooted in your mind to see everything as permanent. It's deep rooted already. So behind your mind, you will see that anger as permanent, 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 although you don't speak out. So if your perception, if your old perception perceives that anger as permanent, can that anger pass away or not? Because your mind already grasps that anger as permanent, permanent, permanent. So it won't pass. But the reality is anger is impermanent, right? Buddha says, sabbe sankhara anicca. So in reality, anger is impermanent. But you perceive it as permanent, permanent. So one is impermanent, one is permanent. So you never be able to match. Cannot come to conformity. Cannot match. Therefore, it's very difficult for the anger to pass on. Because you entertain the perception of permanent in your mind already. So, in order to see things as they really are, in order to see reality that anger is impermanent, you've got to change your perception. You change your perception and see it as impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. So, in reality, anger is impermanent. And you also perceive it as impermanent, that it matches very well. When it matches very well, immediately you can see impermanent. Because there's no something block you to see impermanent already. Because you remove that perception of permanent already. You remove that block. Then wisdom grows directly, you can see impermanent. So this is the importance of yoniso manasikara, directing the mind to see impermanent. Okay? Let me stress one more time. If you do not direct your mind to see impermanent, what is your mindset? To see permanent, yes. Your mindset is to think everything is permanent. Therefore, to remove that wrong perception, wrong mindset. Mentally, you have to say impermanent or gone, gone, gone. Then the way you perceive match with the reality, only then impermanent will occur. It's not to say impermanent will occur, only then you can see impermanent. Impermanent is everywhere, it's there all the time, but because we do not perceive it as impermanent, therefore we cannot see impermanent. Okay, so the last one. Once you apply mindfulness, once you apply wise attention and to see impermanent, then finally you see impermanent. You really see that mental state disappeared, vanished, gone in the mind. At that moment, when you really see that impermanent, that wisdom arises. Wisdom directly sees things as they really are, as impermanent, as dukkha and non-self. Dukkha and non-self later on. Buddha says see impermanent first. So when you really see impermanent, then wisdom arises. Wisdom really directly sees things as they really are, as impermanent, suffering and non-self. Okay. Is it clear to you? Okay, later on. So now, any defilement that arises in you, what is the first step? Mindfulness, aware of your mental state, face to face with it, with equanimity. Like a third party, observe other people's anger. Okay, then secondly, apply wise attention. How to apply? Mentally stay gone. Direct your mind, direct your mind to see is passing away. So mentally you say gone, gone, gone 20 times, then pause, check. Okay. Is it very easy step to spend 1 hour? If I don't keep repeating, this one, when I ask you, you cannot give me a direct answer. I know you not yet go into your consciousness. Then I got to repeat again, until when I ask you, you give me the answer I want. Then you got it already. Okay, so last word I want to say. the all the mental state, not including, not only limited to anger, greed, jealousy, you know, also to your happiness, also your sorrow. Your sorrow, you also have to contemplate impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. Later on, investigate cause and effect. Why I feel so sorrowful, right? Even your happiness, also you have to contemplate impermanent. Otherwise, when that happiness gone, the sorrow comes again. It's endless. 1 minute happiness, another minute sorrowful. I think the life is so difficult like that. The best, the ideal life is equanimous. No strong hate and no strong love. That is the most ideal attitude of the mind. You want to make your mind more equanimous, then your happiness increase day by day. Therefore, this method not only limited to anger, greed, jealousy, it also apply to your sorrow state of the mind, happy state of the mind, and any emotional state of the mind, whether it's good or bad. Okay, that's all for today.